T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This will be the day that I die.
Great song.
Did you write the book of love? And do you
there
have
is always been God one thing about this song that has stood out to me more than anything else. And I'm sure you guys have noticed it also. It's what an upbeat song it is about such a sad thing. I mean, it is a song about a plane crash and three notable musicians dying, and yet the song is happy, upbeat, sounding. It's an amazing song. It really is. This is a better Don McLean than the Don McLean that played for the Sixers about 30 years ago. Remember that bum?
Of course.
Can I call him a bum? I shouldn't call him a bum, right?
But he's certainly not this Don McLean.
That guy stunk. I couldn't stand that Don McLean. All right, let's go to the phone. I shouldn't call him a bum. 215-592-9494. Doug Peterson, take it for granted. I believe he is. CBS Sports has him ranked ninth amongst NFL head coaches. I've got him at sixth. John's got him outside of the top ten. What do you make of it? Also, the Matt Klintak and JT Realmuto stuff, where you stand on all that. Let's go to the phones, talk to Andy in Deptford. What's up, Andy?
Yo, what's up, guys? How we doing?
Hi, Andy. Doing well.
I want to hit on the coaches before I get on Klintak.
Yep.
With Doug, I think that's right where he needs to be. If I'm going to rank him, Doug would be ninth for me, behind Belichick, Reed, Carroll, Sean Payton, John Harbaugh, who nobody's giving love.
Well, I got Harbaugh in the top five. Harbaugh's fantastic.
Okay. Tomlin, Zimmer, Frank Reich, and Doug. The reason why I put Doug at nine, you got to look at Doug. He's supposed to be an offensive-minded coach. That means that we're supposed to be strong on that side of the ball. When you look at the offense the last couple years, it looks extremely vanilla, especially when you go to the run game. Where is the creativeness with that? Where is the off tackles? Where is the draws? Where is the power run? Yep. All you've seen with Doug was that inside zone read. Like, he's got to get more creative. Like, I can't put him as a top five coach and they're running the same damn running play for 2-3 years in a row.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we saw the creativity when he had more help, when he had different help. And it's just been very conspicuously absent in the last two seasons.
I feel you, John. I'm just concerned that he had early success.
Yes.
And, you know, now we put him on this pedestal.
Yep.
But you look at what he lost, too. I mean, Frank Reich, DeFilippo, he lost so many coaches that, in my opinion, had a lot to do with the success of the offense.
I still cannot believe that Josh I'll call him a bum, that Josh McDaniels' bum decision to go to Indy and back out of Indy is what cost the Eagles Frank Reich.
Yeah, that killed us.
I mean, it's unbelievable that occurred.
But you don't know. Craftman said to him, look, when Bill's gone, you're my next man.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean,
Frank would have been our guy. He still would have been here if that didn't happen.
Yeah. No, maybe. All right, Andy, what do you got on the Phillies?
Quickly with Klintak. When in this town, as fans, have we become so soft on these GMs? Three of the four GMs, I think, are clueless. You look at Klintak. Since he's been here, they haven't had a winning season. He's never been able to get the ownership to spend money over the luxury tax. And you just look at the money he's been spending. It really makes you question things. You look at Brand. He put a team together of great talent, but none of the pieces fit. It's like, come on, man. We just give these guys passes.
And who's your third one?
Lastly, you look at Howie Roseman. Yeah. We got a young franchise quarterback under 30 locked down for the next 5+ years. And you spend your second-round draft pick on a quarterback that you hope doesn't play? It's, What are you doing?
They're not. They're not as a big a believer in Carson, in my opinion, as you think they are. Andy.
But then why'd you pay him though?
They paid him 12 months before that. I mean, it's
you paid the man. If you didn't believe in him, you would have never paid him that kind of coin.
Well, I mean, do they believe in Alshon Jeffery right now? No. Did they pay
That was another.
I understand. Well, it was a mistake, but you can't. It can't be just based on like believe and not believe, like. They signed Carson a whole year prior to the Jalen Hurts thing. A whole nother year happened. So it lessened their belief. I'm not saying they have no belief in him.
How did he play leading up to that draft? You know, would that make you question his play if you were the GM?
Yeah, if in 2019, evaluating Carson, yes. I would say he was very mediocre for 12 games, and he was absolutely spectacular.
That's not what I asked, leading up to the draft. So his last – four games. Let's say his last.
Well, yeah, it was phenomenal.
What's the question?
Four games doesn't define an entire season. I mean, in my opinion.
But to my point with Howie, he don't know what the hell he's doing. You spend all that money on a receiver that was never a number one. You pay him like he's a number one. We got a plethora.
Howie's made some mistakes. I don't think signing Carson long term is one of them, though.
Give me a
song about a person.
Okay, since this is a sports show, how about Bob Dylan, The Hurricane?
Phenomenal. Phenomenal great song. Answer. Unbelievable story. Tragic situation. The Hurricane is a remarkable story and a remarkable song. And it was a really good movie, by the way, too. Let's go to George and Conshohocken. Hey, George.
Don, Joe, good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, George.
Good morning to you, George.
Listen, I want to weigh in really quickly on the Doug thing. I do think 9 is about where he belongs. I mean, give or take, maybe 2 spots up or 2 spots back. But I just want to say this. You got to put him above McVay. I mean, the big game in 17, which the Eagles basically solidified home field advantage when they went on the road and beat L.A.
Totally.
And then in 18, Eagles are 6-7, pretty much dead if they lose to the Rams, a 14-point favorite, and Doug goes in there and wins that game.
Yep.
I mean, so you got to put Doug above McVay.
Don't you think that the people who know these coaches who are making these rankings know something?
The fact that
Sean McVay is so highly regarded, does that not count?
Well, let me ask a question, George. I'll answer John's question by asking you a question, George. Do you agree with my contention that Doug Peterson gets hurt in these rankings by his looks? I'm not kidding.
I do not agree.
I'm not kidding. If Doug Peterson has the face of Sean McVay, he's ranked higher.
No way.
John, it's the number one reason why Sean McVay won that Coach of the Year over Doug Peterson.
It was Sean McVay is brilliant.
John, it was
that's why
it was inexplicable. I can't even say the word.
It's not inexplicable.
Sean McVay won
that
Coach of the Year.
If you have a photographic memory that actually is the most incredible skill to have if you're a coach.
Okay, and he went 11-5. And
you can draw on every single play you've ever seen and cite specifics. You are a better coach than someone who can't.
It doesn't mean you're a better coach. It gives you
Sean McVay is miraculous.
Oh, would you knock it off?
You refuse to see that. And now you're somehow like working up this idea that you think he's handsome and that's why people think he's a good coach.
They show him on TV all
to do
the
with how
time
he looks
in games. George, give me a song. Great one about a real life person.
Joe, you do have a bit of a man crush on Sean McVay.
No, here's where I get annoyed, George. The camera does. And because the camera does, then the voters do. And that annoys me.
I get what you're saying. But anyway, my song is Aerosmith, Dude Looks Like a Lady, and it was supposedly about Vince Neil.
Okay, you got it, man. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Speaking of looks. So if he's not said in the song, I don't know. It's tricky. I don't know. We'll figure it out. I don't think he's specifically said in the song.
I've heard that, though.
Okay. Well, fair enough. I mean,
it's not one of the ones that you lean on and you know about.
Right. Like Jagged Little Pill from Alanis Morissette. I mean, not that that's the album. What's the song?
Dave Coulier.
You ought to know.
Yeah.
Right? And apparently that was Dave Coulier, right? That's the word. And
Joey Gladstone.
Yeah, Joey from Full House. John, you were a big Full House guy back in the day, right? You're playing football.
No.
You come home from practice. You sit there and you watch some Full House, right? You're like 16 years old watching Full House.
I remember, I think Full House was on when I would be in the hotel like getting ready for my college games because it was on Friday, right?
Friday nights, yeah, it was part of TGIF.
Yeah, so it would be on when we would be going to our meetings.
Full House.
So I never watched.
Let me just say this: Full House is a there's not that much that separates John and I in age and James and I in age. We're all within about 3 years of each other. Full House is a classic example, and James, I think you'll agree, of something John was just too old for. And frankly, probably would not have been interested in anyway. But James, for you and I, like the Full Houses and the Saved by the Bells are in our sweet spot.
Yeah,
and for John, he's like got nothing on it.
100%
right?
Agree.
Hey, I've seen a lot of Full House because my kids have watched Full House now after the fact.
Awesome. John, I went when I was in San Francisco about 10 years ago, I went to the field where you can look across and see the Full House house.
Yeah, I've seen the Full House house.
I
lived out there for a decade.
There you go.
Hey, you know that the Olsen twins are not identical?
I did not know that.
Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen are fraternal twins.
How about that?
Okay. They look pretty similar.
They do look pretty similar.
I mean, so much so that they were both playing the same character.
No, it's some good intel right there. Let's go to Matt in Mayfair. What's up, Matt? Matthew.
Guys, sorry about that.
No problem, buddy.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, John, Joe. It's been a while. It's good to hear your voices again.
Thank you.
All right, so I'm going to chime in on this. I believe Doug Peterson's record, if you take out the Super Bowl season, is 25-23 as head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Is that a top nine head coach in the NFL?
Well, two things. One, that's a big old thing to take out, especially when you've only coached for 4 years.
Joe, how long are we going to lean on that? How long is he going to
A little longer. I'll answer your question. A little bit longer.
Okay. My second point to why
maybe until he doesn't make the playoffs or something. I don't know.
Exactly.
No. You both you guys are insane, John. You're the only sane one in that room right now, man. I'm getting
Thank
tired.
You. Thank you. I feel the same way.
Well, we keep Seltzer in a different
room. We feel the
room.
Same way about you two, so what do you want me to say?
Matt, just so you know, a lot of people might not know this. We keep Seltzer in a different room.
I apologize.
Yeah. He's got to answer all the calls and all, so he's got to talk to people. It's a whole thing.
So you're telling – okay, so with the Super Bowl involved, obviously, without Frank Reich, is he as good as a head coach as he is with him?
Well, he hasn't been the same.
No.
But can I ask you a question, Matt? Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
How do you know that in 2017 it was Frank Reich and DeFilippo and not Doug?
Because without Frank Reich, it hasn't been the same.
Based on how they develop, the offensive coordinator develops the game plan, right?
In part. I mean, not entirely.
They've always talked about how they work together.
I mean, they work together, but let's be real.
It's not as good, Joe.
But it wasn't.
Mike Groh was just terrible. Is that a possibility, too?
And that's a mark against Doug.
Yeah,
we think Mike Groh was terrible, but why is it that Doug was brought down to his level? You would think if Doug was exceedingly brilliant.
You make it
brilliant,
out to seem like Doug was a disaster. They made the playoffs. They won playoff games. Like, what are you talking about?
Disaster.
It was not a disaster. This is crazy.
I mean, John, last year in the playoffs, Carson got hurt. And by the way, McCown got hurt. They had almost no chance to win that game.
Skin of their quarterbacks teeth, hurt. They are saved by miraculous play from a quarterback. In 18.
All right, Matt.
Skin of their teeth last year because the rest of the division was really bad.
Well, that's part of it for sure. Matt, give me a great song, Real Life Person.
One last point, Joe, and I will give you my song.
You got that.
At what point, remember last season we kept asking, what are you going to get, Carson? What are you going to get out of the pocket? We're going to roll him out. We're going to roll him out.
Yep.
And then finally, week, what is it, 12? They decide to do that
week,
and start winning.
Like 15, actually.
So you're going to hold that against 14. Doug?
Well, but I mean, we all know why that happened. That happened because they were trying to get him through the year. I mean, listen, they're going to be faced with the same decision in 2.5 months. And I don't know which way they're going to go. We know that Carson is at his best when he's allowed to get out of the pocket and plays are designed that way. We also know that can lead to problems. So, got to make a call. Matt, give me a song.
All right, my song is Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond.
Already said it's not your song. It's actually Richie's song.
He said it. I'm sorry. I don't know Buddy Holly from Weezer.
Oh, okay.
Great answer.
All right. Yeah, different Buddy Holly. How about that? All right, let's get to
What a song.
That is a good song. And that's the one set in Happy Days, right? In Arnold's?
That's got to be your favorite video of all
time. It's pretty cool. I'm not going to lie.
It is. I think it's my favorite video
ever. It's
a
great video.
My
favorite, it's like up there with Thriller.
Well, my favorite video is Take On Me.
It's a great one too.
No, it's
a
not.
Great video.
You don't like the take on me?
What
video?
Are you talking?
Come on,
that is
John.
Not a great video. Aha! It's the black and white sketch video.
Yeah, totally. Super cool.
It's so cool.
No, it's not.
I mean, it's definitely an iconic video. Whether you like it or not, it's an iconic video.
John's a blockhead.
No. When that, I didn't even want to see that video when it was first out.
Well, that's
when
your,
it was
that's first, your
it
fault.
Was just boring.
Well, okay, that's
well,
your
it
fault.
It is iconic for sure.
All right, let's get to. We got some big Philadelphia this day in sports history. This is a day of transactions. June 3rd, like I don't want to talk about today. Like Cy Young pitched a no hitter on this date in 1908. Okay, good for him. Let's talk
How
about
how many no hitters did Cy Young pitch?
I think two, but I'm not entirely sure. It might be more. I don't
know.
That
seems underwhelming.
This was his second one. Yeah, but what are you going to do? All right, let's talk about decisions. Let's talk about transactions. Let's talk about players in. And players out. And we'll start in 1992 with one of the most bizarre things that has ever happened in sports. On this day in 1992, an arbitrator ruled, and his name was Larry Bertuzzi. I'll always remember that. He awarded Eric Lindros to the Flyers. If you remember...
It was a big deal when it happened.
It was it was a huge deal that they got him, and it was a mess what happened because, and some of the younger people out there might not remember this or know about it, Lindros had been traded on the same day to two different teams. Quebec trades him to the Flyers. Quebec trades him to the Rangers. They first traded him to the Flyers, and like, you know what? I think we want that Rangers deal a little bit more. And they say, okay, let's trade him to the Rangers. And then all hell breaks loose because you got Philadelphia, major market city, New York, major market city, both laying claim to Eric Lindros. Quebec saying, nope, we send him to New York. And the NHL's like, hold on a second here, because Ed Snyder jumps in and Jay Snyder's like, we made the trade first. Our trade counts. In the end, the arbitrator, and it was like a 30-minute ruling. I watched part of the video earlier today. It goes on and on and on. It's unbelievable. I wanted to play the audio. I couldn't find the freaking ruling. It's 30 minutes long. Lindros to the Flyers in exchange for Peter Forsberg, who goes on to win multiple Stanley Cups, obviously a Hall of Famer himself, Ron Hextall, Mike Ricci, Chris Simon, Steve Duchesne, two first-round draft picks, and $15 million.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'll always say it was the right move. It just it didn't totally work out.
Well, it was the right move for Quebec because they turned into the Avalanche and then
that's true.
Stanley Cups keep coming.
So that's 92. That was a big one. Let's get to 93 because on this date in 1993, one of the worst decisions of all time was made in Philadelphia sports. Chris Webber goes one. Penny Hardaway sitting there available at two. And let's remember, the Sixers knew that the Magic really wanted Penny Hardaway and were selecting Chris Webber in order to trade him for Penny Hardaway. And the belief is that the Sixers influenced the draft because if the Sixers didn't signal to the world, hey, we're taking Sean Bradley, the Magic would not have taken Chris Webber and the Sixers therefore could have gotten Chris Webber. The belief has long been that the Sixers honestly could have gotten either Chris Webber or Penny Hardaway based on how they strategized publicly. But instead they tell the world, oh, we're taking Sean Bradley. So in 1993 on this draft day, the commissioner steps to the table. And by the way, listen to the commentator's reaction about Sean Bradley and how long it's been since he's played basketball. This is in 1993, this moment.
With the second pick in the 1993 NBA draft, the Philadelphia 76ers select Sean Bradley from Brigham Young University.
Now, listen to the announcer. The announcer's about to say something. Listen.
Very clean-cut young man. He spent the last 2 years in Australia on a church mission for the Mormon Church. Last played at BYU in 1990-91.
All right, so, like, great. We got a guy who hasn't played basketball in 2 years, and we drafted him instead of Penny Hardaway. Are you kidding me? I mean, great. He's 7'6". Wonderful. He did not revolutionize the game. Look, to his credit, he stuck around the league for about 10 years, but it's an all-time bust. It was an all-time bust. Now, speaking of busts or not or this or that, John, a whole nother wave of transaction in Philadelphia sports happened 1 year ago. On this day, NBA free agency opened up at 6 o'clock.
Oh, gosh.
And what I talk about players in and players out. Players out. Jimmy Butler.
Oh, my God, yeah.
J.J. Redick.
Yeah.
Players in, Al Horford. Josh Richardson. Player retained for the biggest contract in the history of the franchise, Tobias Harris. It was official a couple days later, but the news came out, John, 1 year ago. You sit here 366 days later, technically, because we've had a leap year. John, what is your reaction to 1 year ago? Butler out, Redick out, Harris stays for big money, Richardson, Horford. 1 year later, your reaction is what?
Good
experiment.
They did not. What was the phrase? Roll it back, bring it back.
Run it back.
Run it back. Remember, everyone's saying you got to run it back. They got to game seven versus Kawhi. They did not run it back. Do we know whether it was Jimmy Butler's decision or the Sixers' decision?
I think it was Butler's decision.
Do you?
I don't know.
You
said,
John, do you think so?
Yeah.
Well, then that lets them off the hook a bit.
Yeah, I guess.
I know that it was in a situation, but you still don't give Tobias Harris $180 million. I mean, it doesn't let him off the hook for that. It doesn't let him off the hook for thinking Al Horford would fit here. I mean, they were still wrong.
Like,
whether Jimmy wanted to be or not, they built it wrong.
They were wrong.
Wasn't
right.
Tobias the first thing that happened, as I remember it?
I think Butler happened first, but then we heard that Tobias was staying. And then later that night, I believe we heard that Horford was coming, if I remember that right. But it was a roller. I remember sitting there. I'm watching this from my couch at home. And it's like a four-hour special on ESPN with Rachel Nichols. And I love her. She does a great job. But she's like giggling the whole time. I'm like, Rachel Nichols, I'm living and dying here. I've been waiting through a process for like 6 years for the Sixers to actually have a shot. It's a giggle fest, and I'm dying here because I'm seeing like all these moves happen, and they're going to affect whether my favorite basketball team can win a title.
So you were offended by the giggling?
I was
she's just sort of a giggler.
She is, and she's great. And I've interviewed her before. She's a wonderful person. But it's like, Rachel Nichols, please, I'm dying here. Stop giggling. All right.
You know, the Tobias Harris decision, like the fact that it felt like it was at the front end of that thing. The money was just insane. Like it shouldn't feel like it was that easy a decision.
Insane.
You know, like I wish the Sixers would have been like, man, we're going to hold out on doing this because it's crazy. Because paying Tobias Harris this kind of money is just wrong.
It's stupid.
Like, we're not going to do it right away. But it felt like that was the front end of everything, and that was what they were building off of.
It was
like
awful.
Normally the first deals are the massive deals that change the face of your franchise, and that's what we got.
Yeah,
for massive deal.
I'll say this about Tobias: great guy. You can tell.
Yes.
Nice player. Again, nice player. He is the first player, in my opinion. He's the first player in the history of Philadelphia sports who is overpaid by $100 million. He's got a $185 million contract. He's like an $85 million NBA player. He's paid $185. He is overpaid by $100 million. And I like the guy, but come on. All right, look, a year later, we'll take your reaction to what went down that day. I mean, that was a big one, and that was 1 year ago. Joe to camera, John Ritchie, 215-592-9494 at noon today. We'll have some fun with Pop Culture, Beat the Hammer. We'll rock your calls all show.
Love it.
On 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.